Amen and amen.
Amen and amen. Good. Way
you.
To go, Sarah.
Wow.
All right.
Drew, thank you. You make worship so much fun, and I really appreciate that about you. And you all make worship so much fun, too. Now, being back in person, I know we've been doing this for a few months now, but it's so joyful to see these different expressions of worship. Some of you like to sit. Some of you like to dance. Some of you like to stand up and lift your hands. And I just feel God's presence and God's power in the midst of all of that. And so I just thank you for just filling our hearts with this time of worship. Friends, this morning as we do prepare our hearts to hear from God's word on this Ascension Sunday. Y'all say that with me. Ascension. Ascension. I know, right? It's kind of hard. So pray for me. Ascension Sunday. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles with me. We are going to be looking at the book of Acts, and we're going to be in the first chapter, verses 1 through 11. And as you're finding that scripture, if you can, if you've got it, if you've got a Bible or you've got it on one of your devices, I want to take just a minute, because you know I love to do this. I want to sort of set the scene for us. We've been in a series on 1 John in this Easter season, and we have been celebrating how we are children of God. But for this week and next week, we're going to take a deep dive into the book of Acts, and today we celebrate Ascension Sunday. So I want to let you know a few things about the book of Acts, right? It is basically a two-part story. Does anybody know what the first part of the book of Acts, the first story in this series is? Anybody? Gospel of Luke, sound familiar? Yes, yes. So the Gospel of Luke is like the first part of this two-part story. In the Gospel of Luke, we hear and we learn about Jesus' life. And in the book of Acts, we hear and we learn about the life of the early church. Church tradition tells us that the author of these was named Luke. Maybe this was a physician. Maybe this was even a fellow traveler with the Apostle Paul. We may not be 100% certain of that, but what we are 100% certain of is what this author tells us in his writings, that he is writing absolutely everything down as he has recorded it, and he tries to write it in what he calls an orderly way, right? So that the readers, so that we in our own day and time, and that they back then in their own day and time could know all about Jesus and the early church, all about this first community of believers. And Luke says that he writes for this reason, so that we would have confidence in Christ, and so that we would have confidence in the life of faith. So hold on to that promise as you listen to the scripture story this morning. The other thing I want to point out is that in our scripture, you hear this word Theophilus. All right, let's say that together too. Theophilus. Theophilus, right. It's a mouthful. Okay. So Theophilus is the person to whom these letters of sorts are addressed. Now, Theophilus in Greek actually means one who loves God, right? Theo means God. Philos means love. And so while it's possible that Theophilus really was one person, an individual person to whom Luke is writing to instill confidence in the Christian faith, what I think is really cool and super amazing is that Theophilus could also mean anyone who is a person who loves God, right? So this message is for us. So this morning, church, I've got to ask you, do you love God? Yes, yes. We're going to be interactive this morning because I can tell we're a little sleepy. Do you love God? Let's do it again one more time. I want to hear a good yes. Do you love God? Yes, yes. This is the good news then of this story, the good news of the gospel and these acts, these actions of the apostles and the earliest church. Friends, these are written so that you may have confidence in who Christ is and all that God has done through the suffering, death, resurrection. And today we celebrate this ascension of Christ to redeem and restore and make the world whole. So let's listen with ears very attentive and hearts very open to God, who loves us so much. And I'm holding this microphone. It's a little awkward for me as I'm getting to my scriptures today. And we are going to hear these amazing words from the first chapter in Acts. They'll be on the screens behind me. And so hear what Luke has to say to those of us who love God. Luke says, Theophilus, the first scroll I wrote, right, the Gospel of Luke, the first scroll I wrote concerned everything Jesus did and taught from the beginning right up to the day when he was taken up into heaven. Now, before he was taken up, working in the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus instructed the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed them that he was alive with many convincing proofs. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days, speaking to them about God's kingdom. And while they were eating together, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. He said, "This is what you heard from me. John baptized with water, but in only a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." As a result, those who had gathered together asked Jesus, "Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now?" And Jesus replied, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has set by his own authority. Rather, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." And after Jesus said these things, as they were watching, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while he was going away and as they were staring toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood next to them and they said, "Galileans, why are you standing here looking toward heaven? This Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way that you saw him go into heaven." Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. We pray with me. Our God, this day, truly we are filled with amazement and wonder at all you have done to reach out to the world with love and grace through your Son, our resurrected and ascended Savior, Jesus Christ. Our God, as we thank you for this tremendous and holy divine scripture story, God, open our hearts to hear from you. Open our eyes to look not only toward the heavens, but also to look toward this precious world in which you have given us the power of the Holy Spirit to witness and to share your abiding love, your amazing grace with others. Open our hearts in these moments to all you would do to shape our hearts after your heart. For we count ourselves among the ones who do love you so, our God. Amen. Well, friends, what an amazing story we have before us this day, right? This is a high and a holy day in the life of the church across time and space, from generation to generation. The story of the ascension of Christ is all about the power of our God to do amazing things. Yet it is also about the choice our God makes to give that power away, to share that power with those of us who would witness, the ones who love God, who look for every opportunity to share God's love with the world. This is one of the high holy days of the church because we get a very compelling vision, don't we, of the divine holiness of God meeting the humble holiness of humanity. Our compassionate and reassuring God reaches out in this dramatic fashion once again as the Son returns to the Father. And the promise of the Holy Spirit lingers, and it's almost palpable in the air for these disciples gazing upward at the end of our scripture reading today. the story of Jesus ascending, or as my translation says it, lifted up on a cloud and taken out of sight. This story is one of my absolute favorites to read with my children, Emma and Booker, who, oh my goodness, are now a whopping 6 and 4 years old, respectively. Like, I don't even know how that happened. They grow up so fast. To be honest, lately they are more intrigued by the Bible stories they learn about in his kids' children's ministry with Mr. Brian and Miss Jackie. But when they were little, we had this tiny little toddler Bible book, right? And they would often ask to read from it this special story, as they described it, the one where Jesus flies the cloud around in the sky. Isn't that great? Like it's a spaceship or an airplane or something. And they love to look at the illustration in that particular book because it's like this hillside and all these people looking up into this gorgeous blue sky that has one cloud just sort of hovering. Well, now we have a more like a kindergarten style Bible book for our kids. And I really like this illustration, right? It shows almost looking down from above. And you can see the faces of the disciples, and they're all gathered in a circle, and their eyes are like as wide as saucers, and their mouths are just hanging open. And every time we look at it, I get a sense of how dramatic this moment might have been. And every time we read it, Emma and Booker seem to get this jolt of energy, and it's almost like they can somehow put themselves inside this story. I love that about kids, and they share in the wonder of it all. Like, they really get caught up in the reality that God is truly that powerful and could do something that amazing, and it's like they just want to be a part of it. So today, friends, as we are gathered here in this place, I feel compelled to ask if we too are open to that same spirit of wonder and awe at all that God has already done for us and for God's beloved world. I mean, maybe and most likely, my kids really just like to live into any and every opportunity to get excited about anything. Wow, they have a lot of energy. But I wonder what our lives would be like if we too maybe could approach our faith and our God, whom we clearly love, with such an eagerness and an energy, just an openness to be a part of and to belong to the story of God's love for the world. Because when I read our scripture for today and I think about the disciples of Christ in the early church, right? They're this somewhat motley crew of fishermen and businesswomen. They're tax collectors and they're rebels. And, you know, these people were not people who held a whole lot of power or prestige. They didn't have much in the way of resources or influence. And frankly, if we read scripture, it seems to indicate that they often were a little bit dense, right? They really struggled to understand what God was actually up to in Jesus Christ. And they struggled with doubt. They struggled with faith. They struggled with believing. But my goodness, even in the midst of that struggle, doesn't it seem that they loved God wholeheartedly? They had an openness of heart, a willingness to show up, a desire, just like Emma and Booker, to be part of this magnificent thing that God was doing, even though they didn't always get it right. It seems they were always eager to learn how to trust that God would indeed always be faithful to equip them and give them all they would need to do all God asked of them. I love this Ascension Sunday scripture because in these opening verses of the book of Acts, it seems like Luke is reminding the early church of the power and the presence of God to do extraordinary things through very ordinary people. Right? If we look back for just a moment in verses 2 through 4, Luke is reminding us how very present God is with the disciples in what must have been an incredibly tumultuous and confusing, albeit joy-filled, time for them. Right? We ourselves, believe it or not, we're not too far removed from Holy Week and Easter and celebrating all of that. So we remember that it was not too long ago in this story that the disciples went through all that they went through, right? Watching their teacher and friend of the last few years suffer. Many of them had to deal with the fact that they abandoned or denied him when he was in his darkest hour. They saw him crucified. They saw him miraculously raised from the dead. So friends, I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say that that must have been a lot for these dear ones of God to process. Yet our storyteller Luke, always eager to remind us of the confidence we can have in Christ, Luke shares in these early verses how Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit, is so very present with these dear disciples in this whole new way, teaching them about God's kingdom, Scripture says, showing them proof that he really has been raised from the dead, eating with them and taking time, 40 days worth of time, to reassure them and remind them once again of all that God has done and of all that God will do for the restoration of the world. Then, in verses 5 and 6, as Jesus speaks these words of confidence and hope, these words of empowerment and call into the hearts of the disciples, he reminds them that the Holy Spirit, right, Pentecost, just around the corner, the Holy Spirit is going to be with them in a matter of days. And just when you think that perhaps after all this time and care and nurture and teaching from Christ, just when you think that they would finally see the big picture and understand it all, what happens? In typical disciple fashion, in very typical human impulsive fashion, they draw all the wrong conclusions about what the presence of the Holy Spirit actually means. Again, these dear ones of God don't always get it right, but gosh, do they bring their full, authentic, and wholehearted, eager selves before God, even when they get it wrong. In our scripture, what they do is they ask a very normal question. They ask if Jesus is going to restore the kingdom to Israel. And that was very normal, very logical question to ask in that day, because the pervasive hope of the people of Israel, who had been suffering under the Roman occupation for many years, was that that kingdom would be restored. And yet for the disciples of Christ, we have an entire gospel from our storyteller Luke reminding us that Christ did not come to restore Israel alone. And further, the restoration work that God is looking to do in the world, that restoration work is not something that God is going to do alone either. Right? God is looking for witnesses. Eager, impulsive, full-hearted disciples who are ready to show up for the task of sharing God's love with the world. So in response to his dear disciples, Christ's last words to them before he ascends in the clouds are basically something as follows. He says, friends, take a deep breath, right? Calm down a minute. It is not for you to know the timetable of God. Receive this liberating news. You don't have to worry about that. God is in control, and God will take care of that. What you do need to know, my dear ones, is that in just a few days, you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Do we catch that? Do we hear that? Jesus tells the disciples, and it's important for us to hear as well, Jesus tells the disciples that they should not get so worried about God's timing and what they think God will do or should do, that is not the purpose for those of us who follow God. Praise God. Rather, these disciples, they need to get ready. Right, they need to pay attention, to pray, and to open their hearts, to keep bringing their full selves before God, because the power of the Holy Spirit is about to come upon them as God invites them to be part of this miraculous thing God is doing to restore the world. These early believers are simply to be God's witnesses, not only to the children of Israel, but to God's children in Jerusalem, the holy city. They are to be witnesses in Judea, you know, that next county, that next region over. They're to be witnesses in Samaria, you know, that land where their enemies live. And they are to be witnesses to the end of the earth. They are to be witnesses to all God's children in this world, courageous and ready to share their stories, filled not with their own power, but with the power of the Holy Spirit. Friends, this is good news for us today. Just as much as it was good news nearly 2,000 years ago that when God calls us to be part of sharing God's love with God's precious world, this ascension scripture story reminds us that we do not have to be perfect or powerful in order to participate in God's kingdom, right? We do not have to have it all figured out to present ourselves fully to God. We do not have to know God's timetable. We do not have to know all of the things before we can go out and share all of the love, all of the ways of goodness that God has worked in our lives, right? We can be witnesses. We, like the disciples, can do this thing God asks us to do because we do not do it alone. God goes with us. God calls and equips us. And as we will see next week, when we read in the book of Acts this Pentecost story, God sends the Holy Spirit to be with us and to guide us so that even if we on this miraculous Ascension Sunday find ourselves like the disciples staring up at the sky, eyes as big as saucers and mouths dropped wide open in wonder and in awe, slightly overwhelmed, right, as we try to process all that God is doing and all that God is inviting us to do. You know, we ultimately hear the voice of those last two characters in our story, right? Remember them, the mysterious ones dressed in white as a holy reminder of God's presence with the disciples and with us yet again. They sort of come up alongside these disciples, and what do they say? They say, "Friends, why are you standing here looking toward heaven? Why are you still?" I imagine them saying further. Why are you standing here looking toward heaven? Look around. What do you see? Who do you see? Where is the pain? Who feels the hurt? Dear ones of God, this world needs a witness to the goodness of God. This world needs your full heart, and it needs Emma and Booker's inordinate amount of energy and enthusiasm to share all that God has done, all that God will do to redeem and restore and to make whole. There are people and places in this world, maybe just around the corner, maybe in our own hearts and homes, filled with pain and oppression, sickness and injustice, struggle and grief, and my dear ones who love God so, you are to be God's witnesses. You have a vital, unique, and beautiful role to play. The story of God's love. So don't stay looking to the sky forever. Church, look around. Look around. Look around. And be a witness. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, friends, as our worship team returns and leads us in song, leads us in a time of reflection and response to this tremendous story of love God has for us. On this Ascension Sunday, I want to remind you that this prayer rail is always open to you. Of course, you can pray from your seats, from wherever you're worshiping with us online. And as you hear the lovely words in this song of response, what I want to invite you to do is to consider how God might be calling you to be a witness in these days. Think about that story, but think also about who you see when you look around. Maybe think about who you don't see when you look around. Bring your full and whole heart in prayer as we go to God for courage and faith to be a witness in our world. As we go to God in song.